Tonight, Brother Tony Cloud, the Church of Christ in Anchorage, Alaska. There's something about that name. Brother Cloud, what is it about that name you want us to know?
Thank you, Brother Brooks, and Highland Heights congregation, all those who are participating this evening. We give all praise, honor, and glory to our great God. There's something about that name, that sweet name of Jesus. It just rings music to my ears. There's something about that name that brings joy and completeness. Our God, your God, the only God, the God of the universe and all that exists, there's something about that name and about that name, Jesus. Nothing exists without Jesus. Every day and in every part of the world, people speak the name of God, whether it be in praise, in prayer, in worship, in anger or frustration, to prove him right, or even to try to prove him wrong, to prove that he exists, or even to attempt to prove that he does not. In times of distress, in times of joy, in times of pain, people every day are speaking the name of God. Look, it didn't take long for mankind to realize and feel the effects of corruption in this world without God. The separation from God, it brings nothing but corruption and trouble, difficulties, one might say. When Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 sinned, the Bible says, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that there was a desirable to make one wise, she took from it its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin covering. Now, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And they hid themselves because they felt the sting of spiritual separation from God. The guilt, if you will, that was all over them because of their sin. And in Romans 5, verse 12, the Bible says, therefore, just as through one man's sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. And each of us has felt that separation, that spiritual sting of death. That's the first generation. The second generation tasted and felt the sting of physical death along with spiritual death. The Bible talks about Cain and Abel. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11, for this is the message which you've heard from the beginning, that we are to love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Cain is where the second separation from God occurs. Man does the only thing in the third generation that could be done, that can be done, when there's a separation from our God. And that is, they called on the name of God. Genesis 4 and verse 25, the Bible says, Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel. For Cain killed him. To Seth, to him also was born. And he called his name Enosh. And then he began to call upon the name of the Lord. And the word Enosh means man. And there's this underlying understanding of the word man that involves the word sickly. So in essence, it kind of says to us, it speaks of the weakness and the frailty along with the misery of man's state separated from God. And church, All of us have been separated because of sin from God, but some of us have surrendered to God and obeyed God in the waters of baptism and are walking with God. And some members of the body of Christ who came to God and surrendered in the waters of baptism separated themselves from God, living in a life of sin, and have come back to God. And I pray tonight that if you are a member of the body of Christ and you walked away from God and you feel that sting of separation, that you'll come back to Him. And if you are outside of Christ, I pray that you will feel that sting of separation and you'll surrender to God in the waters of baptism. Listen, Genesis chapter 4, there was a corrupt world, and the corrupt world found itself in need of God, in desperate need of God. Genesis 4 and verse 19, Lamech took two wives for himself, the name of the one Ada and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada gave birth to Jabal, and he was the father of those who live in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and flute. As Zillah also, she also gave birth to Tubal-Cain, the forge of all implements of bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, listen to how far, just one generation after Cain and Abel, listen to how far mankind had gone. Ada and Zillah, listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Pay attention to my words, for I have killed a man for wounding me, a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. So here's what happened. They thought objective truth as they debated right from wrong. Enoch, the seventh generation, to oppose the evil and surrender to the authority of God. The Bible tells us in Genesis 5, in verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years, and he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Jude tells us that Enoch was a preacher. The Bible says in Jude, verse 14, it was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with his many thousands of his holy ones. And then the Hebrew writer, in Hebrews 11, in verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. But what was Enoch standing against? Enoch stood opposed to evil. And that's what we are supposed to do. Stand opposed to the evil that exists in our world this day. What evil? Genesis 6. And verse 5, then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. And then God goes on to say in Genesis 8, in verse 20, about mankind. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. So church, here's the message. The world today needs to do what mankind did in Genesis 4 and verse 22. The world today, and even the church, needs to call on the name of God, because we are in desperate need of a faith
Our world today is struggling. Our world today is suffering. There's murder everywhere. People are just all crazy. It's like folks have lost their minds. And this is the sting of spiritual death. This is the sting of physical death. We are suffering. We are struggling. And we need Jesus. The Bible said there's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other way to fix this mess of world but through Jesus. And we've got to call on that majestic and beautiful name. And there's something special. There's something unique about that name, about the name Jesus. There's something about that name that draws us in. There's something about that name that makes folks act right. The name of Jesus. God is the only authority who can provide for us objective proof in regard to life and death and salvation. Jesus says, if you will, in Matthew 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all of them, that's them, all of them has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. How are we going to do that, God? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And folks don't like to talk about this today. It's not the sinner's prayer. It's not some made-up concoction that mankind comes up with where people say, just do this and you will be saved. No, all authority has been given to Jesus. And Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples. And he tells us how to do it, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that baptism is an immersion. It's not swimming. It's not pouring. It's an immersion into the watery grave. And then as you baptize them, you teach them to observe all that God commands. God shall be with you always, even to the end of the age. We serve a mighty God. We have to surrender to this mighty God and to the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us the plan of salvation, who has given us a way to be saved, who has given us a way to be right. Who is God? Isaiah 45, in verse 5. I am the Lord. There is no other besides me. There is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming life and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating sanity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Verse 12 says, it is I who made the earth and created man upon it. I stretch out the heavens with my hand, and I ordain all their hopes. Verse 18 says, for thus says the Lord who created the heavens, he is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now, say what, man? Man's up on Mars, right? He's up on the moon and all these other places. We're researching, looking through telescopes, trying to find life. God says, I'm the only one here. I made the earth and all the galaxies and the universe and the gravitational pull and all the atmosphere pressure, everything you experience and what you can see and what you can't see. I made it to sustain the earth for life. We need to be worried about what's happening here and stop worrying so much about what's going on out there. We need Jesus. Something about that. God is not defined by anyone else. He does not depend on anyone else. He swears by his own name because there is no one greater. There is something in that name. There's something about that name. There's something about that name. Speak the name Jesus verbally, audibly, out of your mouth, knowing this. And God said, in the end, every knees shall bow. Now, Exodus chapter 3, we go back to the Old Testament again, in verse 13. Then Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your father that sent me to you. Now, they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am, I sent me to you. And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Listen, Jesus, the self-existent one, co-equal, co-substantial, and co-eternal, if you will, in the Godhead, to the Father and the Holy Spirit. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Now, God tells us this in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 45 and verse 23. I've sworn by myself, the word of God out from my mouth, in the righteousness, that will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance, every knee will bow. Now, the New Testament reminds us of this, that everybody, every person, every human, every angel will bow in the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. So that's this reason also God highly exalted Jesus. God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus encompasses the great attributes of God. Wisdom, holiness, justice, omnipotence, the God who is omnipresent, has omniscient power, Adonai, Jehovah, Yahweh, El Shaddai, Elohim, yes.
He's the God of the past, the God of the present, and the God of the future, the eternal God. And here's what God says. Every person will bow the knee. But we must all appear. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, Acts 24 and verse 15, the Bible says, but we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive the recompense, listen, for his deeds according to what he has done. And it talks about the resurrection in Acts 24, that both the righteous and the wicked will be resurrected and stand before Jesus. Are you ready? Because when you stand before Jesus, you will bow. For every knee will bow. It is written, Romans 14, verse 11, as I live, says the Lord, to me every knee will bow, and every tongue will give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. And so it doesn't matter today what people think about Jesus. If they're thinking something negative about Jesus, they're going to bow the knee. If they're speaking evil of Jesus, they're going to bow the knee. If they're using the name of God in vain, they're going to bow the knee. And every one of us will give an account to Jesus. There's something about that name. Now, here's the sad truth. Here's the sad reality. The majority will not make it into heaven. The Bible says in Matthew 7 and verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. And folks say, preacher, we know that. We're tired of hearing that. No, it's our job to tell you the truth. It's our job to tell you the truth. And when you honor man more than you honor God, shame on you. There's something about the name Jesus that ought to draw us in to be faithful servants, to love our God. For the gate is narrow and the way is constricted, or straight, if you will, and narrow that leads to life. And there are only a few who will enter in. But don't be ashamed to call a spade, church. Don't be afraid to call a spade a spade. Listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it offers no apology in verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? In other words, unrighteous people are not going to make it to heaven. And he gives you a list. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infidels, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's a list you ought to stay away from. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Listen, you can live any way you want to on this earth if you so choose. But know this, you will be accountable. All of us are to Jesus, God who's rich in mercy. He made a way. God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, he made a way. Today, if you hear his word and you're willing to believe it and obey it and confess his name, I want you to look at what happened to some of these people who were found in this list. Verse 11, such were some of you. Look, today, maybe on this line, there's some folks who've been deceived, and there's some folks out there sleeping around, and there's some folks doing what they're not supposed to do. Maybe there's some homosexuals on this line and drunkards and revilers. If that is who you are, God has made a way. Such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. God will clean you up, but you got to give it to Jesus. There's something about that name. There's power in that name. Well, tonight, and kind of wrapping this all up, when were you washed? Have you been washed tonight? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? Romans 10 and verse 8, the Bible says, but what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Someone said, well, see, that's all I've got to do is confess. No, you need to keep reading. And not only do we keep reading, look, realize something. Listen to what the text is saying from the viewpoint of common sense. The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. Now, look, while we're preaching this word, if you're willing to confess that name, this is bringing you to salvation. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness. Not you are righteous. The end result is resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. So earlier he said, you will be saved. You follow this path, this, if you will, plan of salvation, and the end result is going to be stay on the road. Keep on moving. Go in the direction that Jesus wants you to. So God says, don't stop right there. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. But whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank you, Jesus. You got to surrender to that. Now, here's what's happening. People stop reading the Bible because the Bible says to call on the name. When has God ever told us to do something and not told us how to do it? You can't read anywhere in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation where God has instructed man to do something but not told him how to do it. So here the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, God, how do I call on the name of the Lord? Lord God, what do I say? Where is it at in the Bible? No, it's not the sinner's prayer. God's going to tell you how to call. God, show us how to call. Acts 22 and verse 16. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sin, calling on his name. Baptism is how you call on the name of God. That's without dispute. It's what the Bible says And Jesus, remember, in Matthew 28, said all authority has been given to me. Not to man. It's not up to your preacher. It's not up to your mother. And it's not up to your father or your boss or your money in your pocket. Or it's not up to any man. It's only by the authority of the sweet name of Jesus. And Jesus said, by way of inspiration, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on his name. That's how you call. That's how you call. And so this evening I pray that someone tonight is willing to call on Jesus. Call on his name. That they're willing to go to the watery grave, to be baptized, to surrender to Christ. For all that we've talked about brings us to Christ. But baptism puts us into Christ. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27. The call tonight is for you. Will you answer the call of Jesus, that sweet name of Jesus, and surrender to him in the waters of baptism? God bless you. You have a wonderful evening. And I pray, God, that you will no longer suffer the sting of separation from our God. Brother Brooks, thank you.
Thank you, Brother Tony. What a great lesson. My goodness, that's a powerful, powerful lesson right there, I tell you. Man, there's something about that name. Now, I know somebody, we had some static there in a minute, but if you hold on, we got the good information. We got a good staff going to clean this up, those static pieces out. We'll have that uploaded tomorrow to record it and be better. There'll be some work on that, and thank God for those who work in the background. They can help us out. But the last part of it came out real clear. So we're thankful. If you're on the call tonight and you are not a member of the Church of Christ, we wanted you to hear this truth. We put this call on with you in mind. We want you to know that in the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right. As you heard tonight, we believe that the Bible has the right answer for what you must do to save your precious soul. The world is trying to take us away from this book called the Bible. But this program, we're holding up that B-I-B-L-E. We're holding up the Bible as God's instructions for mankind. So if you want to be saved, you want to be baptized, or you want more information, get back with the person who put you on the call and tell them, I want to know more. I need to know more. I need to be baptized. I need to be washed. I want to come out of that group. I want to be in the group that's going to make it to heaven, and I want to be baptized. If you want that to happen, if they can't help you, you can go ahead and email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And I'll make the arrangement no matter where you are in our listening audience. We know with the help of God, we'll get someone to you and we'll get you baptized. And you can attend the Church of Christ nearest you and be able to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen, amen, amen. So what a great lesson. Now, you want to go back to our website. You want to download and listen to this recording. As I said, it should be much clearer after we work on it. Go back to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net, HollandHeightsCoc.net, and go up to the Nationwide Gospel Call tab. Click on 2023, and you'll see week 4, Tony Cloud, Anchorage, Alaska. You'll see his message will be there, along with the one last night and all of us who've been on our program so far through week 4. Amen. Tomorrow night, Brother Samuel Ramirez from Tahlequah, Oklahoma, led all. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 38. Then close it out this week. Bring it back home, Brother Rufus Johnson. Praying to God we have no more technical difficulties. The devil don't want this truth, but he can't stop us, y'all. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. The Declaration of the Cross. On Thursday night, to close out Romans chapter 5, Brother Rufus Johnson. Well, we got a great lineup coming up next week on Monday, Brother Ralph from West Texas, Lubbock, Texas. And then we're going to bring back Brother Israel Rodriguez coming back on because we had weather problems the other night. And then Brother Tennon from the Dallas area will be on Wednesday night to close us out. Brother Don Blackwell will come on Thursday night of next week. Got another great lineup. I'll be bringing some power preachers on this call. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Whatever you do, set your alarm clock. Set your alarm clock. Get that fire. Put it in front of you. Amen. And be ready to join the gospel call every night, Monday through Thursday, 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Take the flyers to hand it to your preacher, hand it to your elders, put it on the bulletin board, give it to the church secretary, get this information out. We have a large call tonight. Appreciate those who supported us, whether it be prayers or your support to just join the call or your support financially. Thanks to those who've done that. If you desire to do that, that's okay. We love to have it. More blessed to give than receive. You can go ahead and go to our website. It'll tell you how you can give online or you can mail it to us, however you want to do it. But it's not about money. This is just purely our goal is to get the gospel truth out to everyone. Use the recording, share it with others, take advantage of this evangelistic outreach hosted by the Church of Christ in Hollow Heights, located 1005 West Little York in Houston, Texas. Tonight, our closing prayer will be done by Brother Nathaniel Moore from the Thomas Johnson Church of Christ in Hillfield, Texas. Brother Moore.
Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the most humblest way that we know how. We thank you for this lesson on tonight, Father. We thank you for the brother who presented it, Father. We pray that you continue to bless him and you continue to crown his head with wisdom and knowledge. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus, who you sent down to die on the cross to shed his blood so that we might have a right to eternal life. Father, forgive us for our sins and for our shortcomings. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Moore. We appreciate you so very much and all of those who support the Nationwide Gospel Call each night. We love you all. Thank God for me and like Brother Cloud, all the way out of Anchorage, Alaska. Tomorrow night, Brother Samuel Ramirez. We look forward to seeing you. God bless. Have a good night.